Good morning, everybody. Great to be here in church and great to be sharing with you. And great to be sharing as well from one of my very favourite Psalms, Psalm 84. You know, there's a couple of stories I want to share as I begin. The first story is a story that causes us to question who we are. And the second story is one that causes us to question why we do what we do. The first one is a story of two snakes that are slithering down the road, and one snake suddenly looks alarmed, and the other snake looks at him, and the first snake says, "Can I ask you, are we poisonous?" And the second snake says, "I don't know why." And the first snake says, "I've just bit my tongue." Okay, that's a story that causes us to think about who we are. The second story is a story of a minister who's doing a children's address, and he's doing a series on sort of things in the church, symbols of the church. And on one Sunday, he's speaking about like vestments and robes. And he puts his fingers to his collar and he asks the children, "Why do you think I wear this collar?" And the answer from one child came back, "Because it kills fleas and ticks for up to 5 months." Who are we and why do we do what we do? Well, folks, this is a moment where we're not able to go along to our church buildings as we normally would. And it causes us to think about what we do and why we do it. But the wonderful thing is, here you are, maybe still in your jammies, but you are turning out at some stage in the day to watch worship and to join with worship and to hear teaching and prayer. I want to look at Psalm 84 for just some distinctives of the Christian life, some things that really show us what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to share is that Christians have God in them. You know, in this psalm, Psalm 84, the psalmist talks about how lovely is your dwelling place. He's talking about the temple. And he says, you know, "My heart and flesh cry out for the courts of the Lord." So, I mean, he's really, really, really desperate to be in the temple. And then he thinks about the birds that nest up high in the temple. And he just thinks, how lucky are those birds that they get to just live in the presence of God. They live in the temple all the time. And folks, maybe you feel a little bit like you would love to be in this building or in St. Saviour's this morning, and you just can't. And maybe your heart and flesh cry out that you could be there. But I love what the psalmist goes on to say. He's talking all about being in your house. Verse 4, he says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." So it's great to be in the house of the Lord or the church. But then it goes on to say in verse 5, "But blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion." You see, he's saying it's great to be in church, but it's even better to have the church in you, the temple in you, a faith that is in you. I was watching years ago the Late Late Show, and one of the members of Boyzone was being interviewed, and he said a very interesting statement. He said, "There's a lot of people in the church, but I'm not sure there's a lot of church in people." Now that's a bit cynical, but in terms of our distinctives, it's an important statement. If you're a Christian, it means to have Jesus in you. Have you invited Jesus into your heart? Have you admitted that you are a sinner? Have you believed in his resurrection? Have you committed to following him? That's the ABC. Admitted you're a sinner, believed in the resurrection, and committed to following him. And that's what it means to have our strength in him. That's what it means to have him in us, to have invited him in this powerful way. That's the first distinctive. Christians have God in them. The second distinctive is this: the Christians spend time in the valley of tears. It says in verse 6, as they go through the valley of Baca, also tears, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. you know, these people, even though they're strengthened God, even though the God's in them, they still have to walk through the valley of Baca. They still have to walk through the valley of tears. And what we understand from biblical history is that the valley of Baca was a place of drought where a lot of travelers didn't survive. It was a very hard place to walk through. But even those who have God inside them, whose hearts are the highways to Zion, even they have to walk through the valley of tears. It's a bit like the story of the wise and the foolish builder. You know that story really well, where the wise builder builds on the rock and the foolish on the sand. But here's the reality. It's not just in the parable that the foolish builder meets a storm. Both of them meet storms. But the distinctive is that the wise builder has built on solid foundations. Even David, you know, who wrote that incredible psalm, Psalm 23, he talks about being led, you know, by still waters and all those beautiful images. But then he also talks about walking through the valley of shadows. New Testament, Jesus says that in this world you will have trouble. So a second distinctive about Christians is that, yeah, we have God in us, but we also will spend difficult times in the valley. I love a story that appeared in the media a number of years ago about a budgie called Chippy. And what happened to Chippy was he was just in his cage one day, minding his own business, and his owner was hoovering the bottom of the bird cage. But at that moment, the phone rang, and the owner grabbed the phone with the other hand, and while he was answering the phone, before he'd even had a chance to say hello, he heard that noise. And the budgie was sucked up into the hoover. The owner was panicking. He threw down the phone. He opened the hoover and he pulled out Chippy, covered in dust and shaking with fear. And the owner went over to the sink. He turned on the tap and he washed Chippy under the water. And then realizing that Chippy was shaking now with the cold water, the owner grabbed a hairdryer and blow-dried Chippy. Can you imagine that poor bird's experience? And it was picked up in the media with the title, Sucked In, Washed Up and Blown Over. And a week later, they revisited the story. And the owner said this about Chippy. Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. You know, folks, Christians get sucked in, washed up and blown over as well. But there's a difference for us. We have hope. And that's what I love about this passage. It says that even though these people with God in their hearts, whose hearts are highways to Zion, even though they have to go through the valley of tears, their hope makes it a different experience. It says that they make it a place of springs, and the early rain covers it with pools. We have hope, and even though we're going through a bit of a valley time at the moment, we can make that dry place into a place of springs and pools. Although we might be on our own in our houses, we're not on our own. The Lord is there, and we can use this time as a fruitful time rather than a barren time because we have hope. In fact, the Bible says, it says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I just love this. So the distinctives for the Christian are that we have God in us, but we will spend time in the valley of tears. And the third and final distinctive is this, that Christians are, or at least should be, growing. It says in verse 7 that they go from strength to strength until each one appears before God in Zion. They go from strength to strength. Christians should be growing. The Bible says in Philippians that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. You're meant to be growing strength to strength, or in New Testament terms, glory to glory. You should be growing. My little daughter, Eliza, who's only 3, is really obsessed with growing. She wants to get married, and she wants to get married to as tall a man as she can find. And I said, Eliza, would you like to get married to a man as tall as your daddy? And she said, "Oh no, I'd rather get married to a man as tall as Rebecca's daddy." Now that is Lindsay Dawson, so if you're looking at a tall man, he is your man for the job. She's obsessed with being tall. But getting tall doesn't just happen by accident. I use it when I'm trying to get her to eat her dinner. I tell her, you have to eat your vegetables if you want to be tall. You know, you have to be intentional in your spiritual growth. These people with their strength in God are going from strength to strength because in their hearts is a highway to Zion. Folks, what are you feeding your heart with right now? You won't grow from strength to strength watching all the news that's on offer. You won't go from strength to strength just feasting on social media morning to night. In fact, you'll probably go from one degree of fear to another, or one degree of cynicism to another. I love what an author and speaker called Lisa Bevere says. She says that what you stare at is what you steer towards. What you stare at is what you steer towards. Or in older language, what you behold is what you become. I want to encourage you folks that if you want to be a Christian who is growing, that you could look up today 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, which says that beholding the glory of God, we move from one degree of glory to another. From strength to strength, from glory to glory. Folks, I'm going to finish this talk now, but in case you are wondering, the good news is that Chippy the Budgie did eventually start to sing again. And I pray that as you think about the blessing of having Jesus in your heart, that you think about the wonderful opportunity of going from strength to strength and glory to glory, even though you must spend time in the valley. I hope it makes you want to sing again too. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.